Vibhishan was crowned king of Lanka in a magnificent ceremony. The new lord of Lanka came out to the Vanar camp and bowed low before Ram. Then Ram said to Hanuman, "With the king's permission, enter Lanka and tell Sita what has happened." Hanuman accordingly took permission from Vibhishan and went to the Ashok Park to convey the news to Sita. Sita's joy was beyond words, leaving her speechless. Then Hanuman asked, "O mother, why do you not speak?" And she said, "What is there to say, my son? How can I repay my debt to you? Your wisdom, your valor, your prowess, your patience, your humility are all your own. None in the world can equal you." As she said this, her eyes filled with tears of gratitude and affection. Hanuman looked at the Rakshasi women who had guarded Sita, and turning to her said, "I wish to slay these cruel women who troubled you. Please give me permission." But Sita said, "No, my son. Who in the world is blameless? It is the duty of noble souls to be compassionate towards all, sinners as well as good people. These demon women but carried out their master's order. How are they to blame? Their king is dead and has paid for his crime, so it is unjust to punish these Rakshasis now." All that Hanuman could find to say in reverent admiration was that what she said was only what was worthy of Ram's wife. He asked, "What message am I to carry to Ram?" And she replied, "I am eager to be in his presence. That is all." Hanuman returned to Ram and gave an account of his visit. For some reason, Ram's face now darkened, and with downcast eyes, he fell into a grave mood. A little later, he turned to Vibhishan and said, "Ask Sita to bathe and bedeck herself and then bring her here." When the message reached Sita in the Ashok Park, she said, "I would rather go as I am." But Vibhishan countered, "Not so, my lady, for the prince's orders should be obeyed." So after a bath and bedecked with jewels, Sita, seated in a palanquin, went to the camp. As Sita's palanquin was taken through the great concourse of Vanars, they thronged round the princess and caused confusion. It was made even worse by the Vanar leaders trying to push them aside and make way for the palanquin. Ram then ordered, "Let no one be kept away. These dear Vanars have stood and suffered for me. Sita will be pleased to see me surrounded by such friends. Let no one be pushed away." Ram's face showed a strange transformation of mind.
"My lord," she said, and sobbing was unable.
Ram said, "I have slain the enemy. I have recovered you. I have done my duty as a warrior. My vow is now fulfilled." Incomprehensible and wholly unexpected were these words that he uttered. His face darkened, and then he spoke even harsher words. "It was not for mere attachment to you that I waged this grim battle, but in the discharge of my duty as a warrior. It gives me no joy now to get you back, for doubt envelops you like a dark cloud of smoke. What do you wish to do now? You must live alone, for we cannot live together. You can stay under the protection of any of our kinsmen or friends. How can a warrior take back a wife who has lived so long
in a stranger's house.
Sita looked at Ram, and her eyes flashed fire. She exclaimed,
"Unworthy words have you spoken. My ears have heard them, and my heart is broken. The uncultured may speak such words, but not one nobly born and brought up like you. Your anger, it seems, has destroyed your understanding. My lord does not remember the family from which I come. Janak, the great seer, was my father, and he brought me up. Is it my fault that the wicked Ravan seized me by force and imprisoned me? But since this is how you look at it, there is but one course open to me."
Then, turning to Lakshman, she said,
"Fetch the wood, Lakshman, and kindle a fire."
Lakshman, who had been watching Ram's behavior in dismay and indignation, turned to look at Ram's face, seeking his orders. But Ram did not say no to Sita's request, nor show any sign of softening. Obeying Sita, Lakshman kindled a fire, and the princess, with eyes fixed on the ground, circumambulated Ram and exclaimed,
"O gods of the heavens, I bow before you. O great sages, I bow before you. O fire god, you at least know my purity and will take me as your own."
With these words, Sita jumped into the flames. And then, wonder of wonders, the flickering flames were crowded with celestial figures, for all the gods came and assembled there. And then Lord Brahma spoke, "Narayan, almighty god who took human form to slay Ravan, is not Sita your own eternal consort, Lakshmi?" Agni, the god of fire, rose in his own body out of the flames and, lifting Sita in his arms with all her clothes and jewels untouched and intact, presented her to Ram. Ram then accepted Sita, having been proven by fire, and said, "Do you think that I did not know your irreproachable purity? This ordeal was to satisfy the people. Without it, they would say, would they not, that Ram, blinded by love, behaved with a strange weakness and broke the rule of well-brought-up men." So saying, he drew her to his side. Then his father, King Dasarath, descended from the heavens. Placing the prince on his lap, he blessed him and said to Sita,
"My child, forgive my son. Forgive him for the wrong he did to you to preserve the righteousness of the world. God bless you."
Next, Indra gave his boon, and the Vanaras, who had died in battle for Ram, regained their lives. Ram and Sita, now reunited, ascended the airplane, which carried them swiftly in the air with their friends, the Vanar warriors and Vibhishan. Now they headed for Ayodhya. As they traveled in the sky, Ram said, "Look there! That is the causeway built by Nal. And over there, that is Kishkinda, where I met and made friends with Hanuman and Sugriv." And Ram pointed out to Sita the spots where he and Lakshman had wandered disconsolate and related to her all his unforgettable experiences. Alighting at Bharadvaj's ashram,
They sent word in advance to Guha and Bharat. The city of Ayodhya swam in a sea of joy. Then Ram and Bharat met. Planning for Bharat's sake, ambitious Kakai and her hunchback maid had contrived and concocted plots. But now, as Bharat bowed at the feet of Ram, a joy deeper than what they had planned for him was his. What kingly crown could equal the joy that one found at Ram's feet? What sovereignty could bring one the glory that was now Bharat's forever? Ram then gratefully bestowed gifts of jewels on the foremost of the monkey leaders, as well as Vibhishan. After 2 months elapsed, he advised them and their army to return to their kingdoms. Hanuman said, "I shall be devoted exclusively to you forever. And as long as people continue to tell your story in this world, I will remain alive in this body." Ram replied, "Yes, that is true. O Hanuman, even if I gave up my life in return for all the services you have rendered me, I would still be in debt to you. The memory of your service shall always abide in my heart." Lord Ram then garlanded him with a necklace of pearls from which hung a bright emerald. Sugriv and Vibhishan were weeping profusely at the thought of separating from Ram. Then, along with the monkeys, they departed for their kingdoms. Thereafter, Ram settled down to a happy life with Sita, who soon became pregnant. One day, Sita expressed the desire to visit the sages who dwelled along the banks of the Ganges River, and Ram agreed to arrange for this. Then the king went to his court with his friends and asked one of his courtiers to inform him of any rumors, good or bad, that people throughout the kingdom may be circulating about him. The courtier replied that the citizens often spoke about Ram's victory over Ravan and subsequent recovery of Sita. But they also wondered how Ram's heart could derive any pleasure from Sita's company, since Ravan, when he had kidnapped her, had forcefully embraced her on his lap. The prevailing understanding at that time was that when a married woman was touched by a man other than her husband, she became contaminated and no longer worthy of her spouse's company. So many people were surprised that Ram was not filled with aversion for Sita. They felt that his reacceptance of her would provide married women in general with a license to consort with other men and then demand that their husbands reaccept them as Ram had reaccepted Sita. For what a king does, his subjects are expected to follow. These critical words filled Ram's heart with sadness. He knew that Sita was both pure and innocent, as she had already proven by entering the fire. Nevertheless, as a king, Ram had the responsibility of acting in such a way that would conduce to the highest benefit and well-being of his subjects, and ultimately, the orderliness and smooth running of the society. Further, it was the belief then that if a person had ill fame in the world, he would fall to a lower state so long as the defamatory rumors continued to exist. Thus, Ram would have preferred to renounce his own life and family before doing anything that would make him appear dishonorable to his people. Consequently, Ram ordered Lakshman to take Sita to the sage Valmiki's ashram on the following day, explain to her his difficult predicament, and then leave her there to live for the rest of her life. his heart filled with anguish and his eyes with tears, Lakshman did what he was told. When he and Sita arrived at Valmiki's retreat on the bank of the Ganges, he revealed to her all that Ram had mentioned to him. Sita replied by asking Lakshman to tell Ram that he should have spared her because she was pure and bound to him in supreme love, and Ram was her only refuge. Nonetheless, she understood Ram's delicate position as king and accepted his decision. She asked Lakshman to repeat to Ram, "O king, as you act toward your brothers, so you should act toward your subjects. This is your duty and will bring you great renown and joy. As for me, I am not distressed, for you must keep your good name untarnished. To the wife, the husband is like a god. He is her family and her guru. Therefore, even at the price of her life, she must seek to please her lord." As Lakshman quickly departed in his chariot, he turned his head repeatedly and looked back at Sita sorrowfully. And Sita, wandering about distraught, continued to gaze at the receding chariot. She was overcome with grief and crushed by the weight of her misfortune. Seeing herself without a protector in the forest, she felt intense despair and burst into loud sobs. The sage Valmiki, after talking to Sita, guaranteed her his protection. Then he took her to a nearby hermitage where only female ascetics lived and performed spiritual disciplines. He assured her that they would care for her as their own daughter. It was then that Sita gave birth to twins, whose names became Kusha and Lava. Fifteen years later, Lord Ram decided to perform a horse sacrifice. He invited all the great kings and sages to attend. As the sacrifice was proceeding, Sage Valmiki asked Kusha and Lava to sing the Ramayana there. When Ram, surrounded by many sages, kings, and monkeys, heard the boy singing so beautifully, he was greatly delighted and touched. Recognizing the boys as his own sons, he began to reflect deeply about Sita. After obtaining the approval of Valmiki, Lord Ram decided to have Sita brought back to the kingdom and publicly attest to her purity in his presence and before the huge assembly. The next day, Valmiki brought Sita to the assembly. As she entered, many persons cried out, "Glory to Sita! Glory to Ram!" Valmiki, presenting her to Ram, said,
"O king, I declare that Sita is innocent and of irreproachable conduct, and she herself will now prove this."
Ram fully agreed that Sita was pure and chaste, and he explained why he had sent her to live away from him. But now he said, "I acknowledge that her twins are my sons, and I wish to make my peace with Sita amidst this assembly." All the gods assembled with pleasure there to witness Sita's defense. Sita, wearing a yellow robe, her palms joined, her head bowed, her eyes lowered, then said, "If Ram is the only man I have ever thought about, then let the earth goddess receive me." Suddenly, from the earth, there rose a marvelous heavenly throne held on the heads of powerful, bejeweled nagas, or snake people. The earth goddess, welcoming Sita, embraced her and seated her on the throne. A shower of flowers fell from the sky, and the demigods cried out, "Excellent, O Sita, excellent! Your virtue is supreme!" As they ecstatically continued proclaiming her glory, Sita descended into the earth, whence she had originally come. At that moment, a great tremor passed through the entire world. But Lord Ram was deeply distressed and overwhelmed with sorrow. He wanted to be reunited with Sita and could scarcely bear her separation now. But Lord Brahma reassured him that he would undoubtedly be reunited with her later in the spiritual world. After this, Lord Ram, often absorbed in the thought of Sita, never sought another wife. And at every sacrifice, he set up a golden statue of Sita to remind him that she was always with him. In the age in which Lord Ram lived, known as the Treta Yuga or Silver Age, the lifespan of a person was much longer than it is in the present age. So for 10,000 years, Lord Ram performed numerous sacrifices and distributed large quantities of gold and other valuables in charity. During his rule, his heart was fixed on his duty. Everyone on earth was subject to his rule, and kings arrived daily to pay him respect. The god Indra sent abundant rains. The skies were clear, the cities and villages were sinless, and the people everywhere were cheerful and satisfied. No one died prematurely or suffered any disease or was poverty-stricken. One day, sage Agastya and all the Himalayan saints came to Lord Ram and asked him to return to his transcendental abode known as Vaikuntha, or the place without anxiety. Since his mission on earth was finished, Ram decided to leave this world. On the bank of the Sarayu River, all 72 million monkeys assumed their angelic forms, and Lord Ram assumed the form of Lord Vishnu. His brother Bharat assumed the form of Vishnu's conch shell, Shatrughan his discus, and Lakshman his divine serpent form. Then his carrier, Garuda, the eagle, descended from the spiritual world to take Lord Ram back home. As Ram mounted Garuda, he blessed the earth and humanity, saying, "I have placed my power in my holy name and in the story Ramayana. Whoever chants my holy name and reads my story will receive my blessings, and all his wishes will be fulfilled on earth. Ultimately, he should attain my transcendental realm. My story will inspire mankind and will last as long as mountains stand and rivers flow. Wherever the Ramayana is sung or read, I shall dwell there, and whoever chants my name, in his heart I shall live." Lord Ramachandra, in the form of Lord Vishnu, then ascended to Vaikuntha along with his devotees, and the demigods and celestials returned to their own abodes. This brings to an end the glorious story of Lord Ram when he appeared on earth many, many thousands of years ago. All glories to Lord Ramachandra and his brothers Lakshman, Bharat, and Shatrughan. All glories to Goddess Sita. And all glories to the great devotee Hanuman. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. This dramatic narration was produced by Krishna Productions at the KHQN Radio Studio in Los Angeles, California. It was based on the Ramayana by Sage Valmiki, abridged and translated by Chakravarti Rajagopalachari, and published by Bharatiya Vidya Bhavan in Bombay, India. The musical selections and engineering were under the direction of Vaibhavi Devidasi. The production was edited, directed, and narrated by, including all character voices, Amala Bhaktadas. And the entire production was dedicated to His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, the late founder and director of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness, who prodigiously disseminated the knowledge and culture of Vaishnavism all over the world.